greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. We are coming to you after a 2-0 week in the Big 12 with blowout wins, as expected, against a terrible Iowa State team and a not-so-good K-State team. Do I have that right, Andrew?
Not quite.
No?
They were not blowouts by any means. And I think those teams are okay, or maybe we're just not great. I'm not sure what it is, but they did not go the way it planned, other than we got the wins. And at this point, I'm just willing to take those wins, whatever they are, and move along. I know they were both at home, both against bottom Big 12 teams, but at this point, I don't care. Let's get these games under our belt, go into West Virginia tomorrow, Monday, and change the whole season around.
Yeah, so we have a big week ahead of us, notably with that game on Monday. You're probably listening to this potentially on a Monday. Big game tonight against West Virginia, at West Virginia. We are absolutely going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Big 12. We're going to talk about our man Silvio getting cleared. We're going to talk about Billy Preston not being cleared. And we are going to get into these games and talk about our team. Andrew, and let's start maybe at the top here. I see a lot of people on Twitter. This is where I get a lot of my source of KU basketball mentality, which is probably the wrong place, but like it's better than message boards, maybe. I don't know. They're probably about the
probably
same.
Probably not anymore. Like, do people really, is Jayhawk Slant still a thing? Is like the KUSports.com message boards, are those frequented as much as they were like 10, 15 years ago?
I don't know. I assume so.
I think it's all moved to Twitter.
I don't know. Either way, this is where I'm getting my pulse of the Kansas Jayhawk fandom. I get a sense that people are a little concerned or even thrown in the towel.
Okay. I think that from that opinion, it is okay to be concerned. I think Bill Self would even tell you that he's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
However, by no means should you throw in the towel. We're in a four-horse race against some pretty decent, pretty good Big 12 teams that we could pull it out against. Like it's the cards are stacked against us, but it's all going to be a mess, and we could come out at the end. That's what I think. I mean, it's not anything to give up on.
So I agree, and I also get this take of how do I say it? And we've seen this several times. Someone saying, I can't. Get on board with this team. They're not as much fun to watch as several other Bill Self teams during the streak. Do you think this team's not as much fun to watch as, let's say, well, first of all the rest of the teams? I mean, can you give a fun factor for this team?
Lots of three-pointers. We've been saying for years that we just want to see a lot of three-pointers. Like, oh, three-pointers. We just need to take more threes. If we shot a lot of threes, we'd be great. We'd be like the Warriors. Well, now we're taking a lot of threes, and people are like, this is kind of boring.
Yeah, I guess I get it a little bit. I mean, we've had such strong personalities on a lot of teams. I mean, you could just go back and be like the Sharon team, the T-Rob team, the Frank team. You know, you can just go and just pick those guys off. Is this a Devontae team, a Svi team? You know what I mean? I guess I
are you wanting
sorta...
like a are you on a wow factor? Are you wanting a superstar? Listen, like a A-lister, not necessarily in terms of a playing ability, but you want like a Tom Cruise on this team?
I'm not that guy. I'm just saying what I'm seeing and hearing, and I get a lot of mentions
I understand.
About this.
I'll say this. I understand where that's coming from. It's just a different team. It's just a different team. You got to appreciate the strengths of this team, you know, also acknowledge the weaknesses on what it is. We shoot a lot of three-pointers. That's very exciting. Svi shoots... I mean, he makes like six a game. Devontae, not far behind. Doke only dunks. That's fun.
That's fun.
There's a lot of fun things. A lot of fun things about
this
team.
Yeah, so I thought a Self quote after the K-State game was telling. He said something like, what our fans need to know is this is how all our games are going to be, including the ones at home. And I think
agree.
He's right.
No. And, I think he's right.
And that's not necessarily a complete reflection of this Kansas team. It's also a reflection of how freaking good the Big 12 is. And this is, it's sort of a perfect storm. I think combining the two things, this is a little bit different KU team. It's a killer Big 12. All of a sudden people are, you know, a little uneasy about themselves and about about the team. I'll tell you this much, and we're going to get into this, but if we go on the road and beat West Virginia tomorrow, I don't want to hear another effing word about this team. Like, I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear that take for at least 2 weeks. Because if we go on the road and beat them and we are 5-1 sitting in the driver's seat, like, and you go win that game after West Virginia lost a heartbreaker and we've done what we've done the last three games, or four games, I think the season is jump started. Am I right?
I think so too. I absolutely. This, if you win this game against West Virginia, it changes everything around. It doesn't necessarily put you as the favorite, but it puts you in a really good spot and lets people know that we're not going away. This isn't going to be the year we just roll over. If we lose this game, doesn't necessarily mean it's over. It doesn't by any means. But if you win this game,
it's setting
a message to everybody else that, you know, really everything comes through Lawrence.
Here's an interesting note from ESPN Analytics on this very point. Kansas, West Virginia on Monday is this is from Seth Walder from ESPN Analytics. I have no idea who he is, but he's a nerd. Kansas, West Virginia on Monday is a high leverage game for the Big 12 regular season title. Shocker. The Jayhawks will have, get this, a 46% chance to win the title outright with a win at West Virginia. A 21% chance with a loss. The Mountaineers will have a 19% shot at the outright title with a win and 5% with a loss. So their analytics don't like West Virginia as much as they like Kansas for whatever reason.
Right. Interesting.
But I thought that was interesting that a KU win would still not put us over 50% because that's impossible with this amazing league. But 46% chance to win the league outright. I assume if you count ties, that does put us over 50%. You're an overlay there. So I don't know. We'll see. But this is a huge game. But also one that we're not necessarily expected to win, too. So that's
definitely
that's a nice thing.
We're definitely not expected. Right. I mean, and we've gone into Morgantown expecting to win for the past 4 years, 5 years, and we've lost them all. So maybe we're due. Maybe we're owed one from a couple years ago when we should have gotten a win in Morgantown and didn't get it. So I'm not a superstitious guy, but you know what? Maybe the basketball gods owe us one. Mm. We're going to go ahead and reclaim that now. We're going to claim that ticket. We're cash it in right now.
I like that. So another story from the week, we got Silvio back, or we got Silvio. I guess it wasn't back. We got Silvio cleared by the NCAA on Saturday morning. He was able to play.
Right. So Saturday morning, that is an interesting time for that to happen.
Yeah.
Who works on a Saturday morning? It doesn't necessarily work like that. Like what happened?
I think it happened Friday.
But why didn't they announce it on Friday?
I don't know.
Like what happened between 5 o'clock on Friday when you can send out a simple press release or send out an email to Bill Self saying, okay, good to go. And it was like 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Like what happened in between there?
I agree.
Did somebody in Indianapolis go back into work?
No chance. Literally zero chance of that. I think of anyone from the NCAA working on Saturday morning on this issue. I think it was locked up Friday for whatever reason. It didn't come out till Saturday. I don't know. Maybe there was something internally that once they got the clearance, they had to do and whatever. I'm not worried about it. The point is he's there. He played 2 minutes.
Yeah, a really up and down 2 minutes. There was, let's just get the bad out of the way, a really bad turnover.
Real bad.
Real bad turnover. I think he was pretty quick on defense. You can, if you're looking at him, pretty good footwork on defense. Cut off a baseline pretty good. Bad box out miss, leading to a layup for K-State. But otherwise, I heard someone describe him as like a first year Thomas Robinson who could possibly get better quicker, but not necessarily with the peak of Thomas Robinson. You can sort of see how when Thomas Robinson came, he was raw. Like dude dribbled like up to his shoulder.
Yeah.
I don't think Silvio's like that, but in terms of like his body's ready to go, you just got to kind of put it all together. And I think he will. I don't know if he'll be useful for a couple of weeks or maybe even into March, but it's good to have him around.
I think I heard Townsy on the post game after the Kansas State game, and he was doing the courtside deal and talking about getting Silvio back. And he said something like, "That's my guy. So glad that he was able to join us. We've been obviously on him for a long time." And he said something like, it's going to be an absolute joy to coach him, something we've obviously wanted to do. And you guys are going to see in a week or two why we feel that way. And so he still thinks it's a week or two, which makes total sense. Like, this obviously was not going to be a game he's going to come in and play 20 minutes and, you know, have 10 points and 8 boards. But you get his feet wet. I'm not sure the West Virginia game is a great one for him to really get a lot of PT. Right. But
yeah, so here's a question. Over under 5 minutes for West Virginia.
Under.
Over under 2.5. Yeah, I don't know if he'll play at all. This is not a game suited for someone, for a new big guy freshman. If it was a guard who already had good handles, this might be an okay game for him to play. But for a big guy freshman, theoretically second year or second semester high schooler, not a great spot.
I'm a little worried about Doak and foul trouble. So, like, if that happens, like, I'll obviously take the over, but I don't know. But it'll be interesting. I think I'll take the over 2 minutes, but like barely. I think he gets a few spot minutes.
But. Right. It'll probably be like the K-State game. I was hoping that we would blow K-State out,
right,
and he could get to play the last 7 minutes. That did not happen.
That did not happen.
Okay, so Silvio De Sousa, a very exciting time for KU. I think that he'll come along, and it'll be an interesting thing, another weapon to come along for this team. Something we needed, an injection of energy somehow. Maybe just the fact that he did get cleared is that injection. But the other potential injection of energy, a little more little juice to this one, is Billy Preston. No news on Billy Preston.
I'm not expecting him to play at this point. Are you?
In the whole season, no.
Like, if I were to give you 2-1 odds, would you take him playing?
If you gave me 2-1, I'd take it, but I wouldn't take straight up.
1.5-1?
We're getting a little closer.
I think it's somewhere around
there. 3-2
odds. I think we're trying to set. Are we setting the line right now? Or setting the?
The odds are against him.
Yeah, clearly.
That's for sure. I don't feel good about it. So if you're Billy Preston, what do you do? I mean, we don't really know what the potential punishments could be.
Yeah.
I mean, could he play next year? Like, could he come back and play for KU next year, or is he just ineligible for the NCAA completely for all time? I mean, if they find that out, he should just leave and go to the G League or go play in Europe right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. If there was no chance of him playing this year, I think he might have already left. So I think that's something. I don't know. We'll see. I guess I'm not a Billy Preston as a lottery pick guy. So
No, I don't think so either.
I think his game will be well suited for the NBA. I think he'll be, I think he'll find his way there eventually. I don't know if even if he would have played, he was going to be a lottery pick. So, you know, we'll see. I think obviously it just depends on what comes down from the NCAA. I'm not willing to really handicap any of that, because there could be such a broad spectrum of results from this thing, obviously. So at this point, I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see. Andrew, let's talk.
Okay, here we go. Before we move on, could we put a team together for the last 10-year NCAA issues for players?
So free, like, Diallo, Josh, free Selby, free
Selby's your point guard. Diallo is your center, your power forward. Cliff Alexander is a 3 or 4. Billy Preston's your 3 or 4.
Who are we missing?
Who else do we have? Darnell Jackson.
He missed a couple. Yeah.
That was back when he wasn't playing a ton.
He had to pay back whatever
he did.
Oh, that can't not. That, There's got to be more. But that's a team. You just fielded a team.
Yeah, that's a pretty good team. Not really. Cliff was a bust. Diallo, man, Diallo's playing some NBA minutes, but he was not great for us.
Yeah.
He was just young and raw.
Yep.
And then who knows about Billy Preston. So that's a pretty decent team. I don't know if other teams go through this, but, man, it just seems like every year we've got this, you know, waiting on the NCAA thing. And I'm not blaming the NCAA much here. I think they have got a little bit of blame. But I don't know the inner workings. But it just seems like, man, we have to deal with this every year.
I know. My favorite tweets right now. Sometimes you'll have to search like my mentions. I have a lot of conspiracy theorists that tweet me.
I love KU conspiracy theories.
I mean,
so what's a good one?
A ton. It's just like I think I saw one today. I can't remember who it was. I said something about West Virginia. The guy that punched, I can't remember who it was. Dang it, Wesley something. Anyway, the West Virginia game, the Texas Tech game, Texas Tech storms the court. Some guys bump into a couple West Virginia players and a couple West Virginia players start swinging on them. Did you see this?
Oh, no, I didn't see this.
Oh, yeah. So Google it right now while I'm talking.
So is it Wesley Harris?
Yeah. I think it was Wesley Harris. Threw a punch. I think like connected. Anyway, the point was my tweet said something like their president of their athletics department or AD head or president of their university said he was working with the NCAA and Big 12 to resolve this issue after all the facts are learned or whatever. And I responded and said, and those facts will not be learned until Tuesday.
Well, right. Because no one's going to work on Monday. It's Martin Luther King Day.
And because KU's playing West Virginia, like there's no way that dude's suspended. That was my point. And so I get these responses, a couple of, I can't remember what it was, but the guy said something like, is it just me, or is there like a combined effort between the Big 12 and the NCAA to try to knock Kansas off the perch this year? Like they're working together, and like that one was pretty benign, but I see some crazy ones. Especially, it's all NCAA mostly, but the refs and the NCAA and the Big 12 is all like conspiring to, you know, fire Bill Self because of some extramarital affair with the Big 12 commissioner's brother's wife's husband's but anyway,
that's pretty deep there. That's pretty,
I know, man.
Okay. I'm going to do a little audible on our game plan here. Speaking of conspiracy theories, I want to talk about Bruce Weber and his post game conference. Go talk to Fran. He'll explain it. Go talk to Fran.
That was great.
And then the Mellinger article about, he did talk to Fran.
That was great. So
first of all, I like Fran Fraschilla, and that may make me an unpopular person.
Yeah, that's another thing I get a lot of. Oh my god.
Yeah, I kind of like Fran. Like, I get why people hate him, and it does kind of aggravate me when he gets into that, you know, underdog, I'm rooting for the underdog mentality. That being said, I do kind of like Fran, but I get how Bruce Weber would think that Fran would be on his side.
Yep.
By the way that Fran makes
you know they talk. Like that was the comment made total sense. That you know that there's been a conversation probably recently between Fran and Bruce where they talked about Allen Fieldhouse. You have to be better than perfect or whatever the freaking thing he says during the game. And and you know that Bruce thought, well, Fran's going to back me on this because we've talked about this. And then Sam went out and found him and said, so are you backing him on this? Nope. It was a well-officiated game. And so it was kind of funny because throughout the game, Fran was, and you were there, right?
No, I wasn't
there. Oh, so you watched it. So you heard him say things like, wow, this is very even.
He said it throughout the game. Like, and so when I saw that on Twitter, that he's like, go talk to Fran about it. I'm like, well, Fran's kind of already blown your case. He was saying it was a well-called game the whole time.
Yeah, and then to his credit, he didn't back off that when Sam got in front of him, which was good. So maybe Fran earned a few points back from the salty KU fans that absolutely loathe him.
Well, Fran can't, even if Fran felt that way, there's no way he could take that position. He can't come across like rooting for one team or advocating for one team over the other. Like this gets into you know, advocacy territory advocacy. If he gets there.
I don't think so. If there was a if there was a shitty call, I think he could say that was a shitty call.
Well, because it would go against what he was saying.
And I get that, but like you know what I mean though. Like he, if there was something that was crazy, like right. Spee's walk,
did Fran and Bruce Weber have a conversation about like KU's calls and the refs?
Absolutely.
Like, I think that happened.
Absolutely.
That happened.
That's obvious. That's why Bruce said it. Like, he wouldn't have said that if that conversation didn't happen. And that's the thing. Like Fran is a former coach. He's got a good rapport with other coaches. You know, he talks to all of them. He's got their cell phone numbers. And I think he does a pretty good job, you know, preparing for games and things like that. But that was hilarious. And can we just talk about Bruce for a second? Like, Bruce, stop it, man. Like, you're actually like an okay coach.
Every year it happens.
I know. And he can't help himself. He's just a little lovable loser. I can't say anything else. I don't really know what to do with Bruce. Although I hope he never leaves, because he's just, you know, such a, bless his heart. Bless Bruce's heart. That's going to be an interesting one in Manhattan, though, for sure.
It'll be very interesting. I think we can go out and we can give Bruce Weber the Bruce Weber Douchey Coach, Scott Drew Douchey Coach of the Year Award. We can just go ahead and give that out.
Yeah, we can hand that out right
in
now.
In our Jayhawk Talkies.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and put that in the mail.
There you go.
Just get that one out of the way. So, Bruce, congratulations on that. Every year, Bruce. Every year. And this one, like, he's thinking he's got all this ammunition, but he really doesn't. Like, Spee's walk, whatever. This one, nothing much really there.
No, there was the technical foul. Obviously, he said something. Like, that was an awkward time to get a technical foul call. And his I think the player said that he was complimenting his teammate on a block.
Yeah, right. Like, come on, give me a break.
I thought that was pretty
good. Give me a break. He said something to LeGerald Vick, I think, because LeGerald Vick was probably talking some smack the whole game.
Probably.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
That's you get technicals for that sometimes.
Yep. So I don't, whatever. I thought that was, it is what it is. I don't think that was the reason anybody won or lost the game. So,
right.
K-State had a couple really good opportunities to win that game. I don't know what that last possession was. I just thank, you know, the basketball gods for that last possession, because it was hilarious to watch. I mean, I kept watching, and I was watching it and a little confused as it was happening, because I was like, why are they taking their time so much? And then I'm like, am I missing something here? Like, on the time or the clock? Is the clock wrong? Like, it was so weird.
And I don't know what they had set up, but apparently Bill Self knew exactly what play they were going to run. Yeah. They were on the same play they ran for Dean Wade last year, and we were ready for it. But that doesn't mean you can – they just froze. Everyone just froze.
It was weird.
I mean, they had 7 seconds. There was no sense of urgency. I don't know what that was.
So after the game, if you saw that last play, like, they, I know people had it on GIFs and stuff, LeGerald Vick was completely off of his man. He was just sitting in the middle of the paint. And CJ Moore tweeted out something like, our friend of the podcast, CJ Moore, tweeted out that LeGerald Vick was lost. And I responded, I was like, actually, I think he was there on purpose. Because it kind of made them second guess because you had the guy in front of you and you had LeGerald behind, the lane looked a little more clogged. And I'm like, 10 other people responded. I was like, I think you're right. I think it was on purpose. And then come to find out that Self clearly called the play. He pulled a Tecmo Super Bowl and hit B to the right, just like they did. And, I set up the perfect defense for it. And then they obviously didn't execute either. So that was interesting, but whatever. We'll take it. 73-72 win in Allen Fieldhouse. I don't want any more losses in Allen Fieldhouse, Andrew. I don't want any more.
I totally agree. We do have West Virginia at Allen Fieldhouse to come. We have Oklahoma at Allen Fieldhouse to come. Texas at Allen Fieldhouse to come. TCU at Allen Fieldhouse to come. There's some tough games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy to clean the board and sweep at Allen Fieldhouse. They're going the rest of the way. I don't have a great feeling about it, but if we can hold serve, we can kind of turn it up a little notch and be like the old KU at Allen Fieldhouse, that would be very beneficial towards our Big 12 hopes.
So let's talk about, well, how do you want to do this? Do you want to talk about the...
Let's get the Iowa State game out of the way quick, and then we'll go into the Big 12 generally. I went to the Iowa State game with my wife, Iowa State grad. I was kind of talking some smack, as you do, about how, Iowa State's not very good this year. It's going to be a blowout, blah, blah, blah. It was not a blowout, Kevin.
No, it wasn't.
Wigginton, pretty good.
He is good.
Freshman.
He's good. We talked about that. Brian Haney and I talked about that. I guess you weren't on that podcast. But yeah, I brought him up as like, dude, you gotta check this guy out to Brian. He said he hadn't quite scouted him yet. Well, you gotta watch him. The dude is a monster. He's gonna be awesome. Like, think about that guy's not leaving either.
You know what I mean?
Like, he's short, he's gonna be around. He's gonna be a heck of a point guard in this league. So, tell me more.
My wife wants me to give her some kind of credit for her team not doing as bad as as we expected. So I'll just say, like, yeah, they didn't do as bad as expected, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And if she listens to this, great. If she doesn't, then that's fine.
Donovan Jackson's pretty good too.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
Those are the two motors, you know, the two real motors of the team, and Nick Babb, the brother of the guy with the soup. That's how I know him.
Yep.
He's okay.
So let's see. They played. Where did they? They played Baylor on Saturday.
They beat Baylor on Saturday. Yeah. Yep.
Oh yeah, they beat them by 10. So that was a good win. They actually. I mean, I don't know, Andrew. Like, what's their record right now?
1-4, 10-6 in overall.
10-6 overall. Two losses in overtime. If they flip those two games, the Texas and Oklahoma State game, like, they're legit a bubble team, right?
Maybe. I don't know if they have any good wins.
They beat Boise State, who is a decent team, top 50 KenPom. They lost to Mizzou, which is too bad. And then they have a terrible loss to Milwaukee. But then they won, you know, remember they won like 10 in a row. Now they weren't against great teams, but I think they're going to beat some more teams this year. This is what's kind of confusing about this league. You look down and you look at the standings and you see these top four teams, right? And then you see teams like TCU at 1-4.
TCU's going to beat a lot of teams this
Baylor,
year.
Baylor, 1-4. Iowa State, same thing. 1-4. Like,
they're not going to beat as many, but still, they're going to win some.
They're
games.
Still going to win games. Like, that's wild to see those three teams 1-4 in the Big 12, because two of them, TCU and Baylor, some people were talking about how they could challenge for the league, and Iowa State was obviously always going to be down, but man, that's crazy to see them down there. Now, obviously, there's a lot of basketball to be played, but the point is here that. Anybody is going to beat anybody on any night. Like, you have to all the way 2018 stay woke in this league because.
Yeah. All right, Kevin, the top four, Texas Tech, West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Those are all 4-1 teams. That's as of Sunday, January 14th. Power rank those top four, and then we'll do the rest.
I was thinking about this, Andrew. I would literally. If you wanted to rank those in any order, like any order you wanted, I couldn't argue. Like, if you wanted Texas Tech first, there's a great argument for it. They got two great wins. If you want West Virginia first, go for it. Kansas first, probably the harder case. But
right, I think so. I think you're right.
But like, I'd allow that too. And then Oklahoma, sure. I mean, I would literally allow any of those. I mean, Oklahoma's only loss is to West Virginia on the road. Like, you can excuse that, obviously. Texas Tech only lost to Oklahoma on the road. I mean, you can excuse that. But Kansas, the only loss is to Texas Tech at home, which is obviously the worst one. And then Texas Tech's only loss. Who am I missing? Texas.
OU.
OU. OU's only loss on the road again to West Virginia. So, like, you could put that any way you want. Literally any way you want. I think right now, as we stand today, it's kind of hard not to put Texas Tech up there.
Right. I mean, I think I'd put West Virginia, then Texas Tech, then KU, then OU. That's how I'd do it.
I think that's fair.
And you could probably even do OU, KU.
Yeah. I literally, like, you could just spit four names out and I'll be, that makes sense.
You probably wouldn't put West Virginia fourth.
No, I wouldn't put West Virginia fourth, and I don't think I can put KU first. How about that?
Right. I think that's right.
But any other order, I think I could get on board with. Tomorrow, okay. After tomorrow, I want to power rank again, because that will, I mean, if
it, that would definitely, that'll change everything.
West Virginia wins, so bottom, they're number one.
Yeah.
If KU wins,
bottom
they're number
six,
one.
K-State, Oklahoma State, Texas, TCU, Baylor, Iowa State. Now, we used to think that there was this middle of Texas, TCU, Baylor, and then a bottom of Iowa State, K-State, Oklahoma State. Is that still true?
I think so. I think Texas is better than their record. Now, obviously, they had some terrible news over this week as well, with Andrew Jones. Is it leukemia? Is that what it was? Yeah. I mean, a terrible deal. So hopefully on behalf of the Jayhawk Talk podcast, and I know a lot of KU fans, it'd be nice to get him back in play. That sucks. So they're a different team without him. That's for sure. I mean, he's their scorer on the team. Mo Bamba's a monster, obviously, but they're 2-3. You got Oklahoma State's 2-3 and K-State's 2-3. I think I put, if we're taking Texas without Andrew Jones for sure, which I think you have to, I think among that next crew, I still put TCU next.
Okay.
And then I think, and this is when it gets a little funky, I think I put Baylor, but they've been weird, man. I still think they're a good team, but they're not winning very many games. They lost by 22 to Texas Tech, which was wild. That was that first opening game. And then they took TCU took them to overtime at home, and they lost. And they beat Texas, and then they almost beat West Virginia on the road. They only lost by 3. And then, of course, this strange 10-point loss to Iowa State. So I still think I put them there. Maybe I'm still drinking preseason Kool-Aid, but I like that team. Am I crazy?
No, I don't disagree. They've got a lot there. It's just the wins aren't there. They're not there yet.
I mean, I guess my point is, so do you put Texas above them? I mean, maybe. Do you put Oklahoma State above them? I can't do that.
No.
I can't put Iowa State above them, and I don't think I can put K-State.
I think it comes down to who do you think is better, Texas or Baylor? And I don't think you can go wrong.
Or K-State.
I'd still put K-State below.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's right. So we go Baylor, Texas. Where were we? Baylor, Texas.
Then you have K-State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State.
I think I go K-State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State.
Okay. And, you know, I don't know much about Oklahoma State this year. I don't think I've watched them play. So it may be unfair for me to just put them on the bottom.
Well, they just beat Texas. Now, again, that was that first game after, or maybe it was the second game after the Andrew Jones thing. We beat them by 1 at home. So, you know, that's probably about what the projection was. They lost to K-State. They beat Iowa State. So their only two wins are against Iowa State and Texas. You can't really count their 2-4 record any more than, you know, 1-3 from someone else or 1-4 from someone else. But their losses are to West Virginia, Oklahoma, and K-State. They play Baylor and Oklahoma coming up, so we'll see. I'd sure love for Oklahoma State to knock off a few teams, not us.
That'd be
same
great.
Same with Iowa State, same with K-State, same with some of these others. And I'll tell you what, it's going to happen, right? Like, that's... each one of those teams is going to beat one of those four teams we talked about earlier at least once. Don't you think?
Right. Yeah, and I think that the top of the Big 12 is pretty good, but I think overall the Big 12 is pretty good. I mean, if you look at the KenPom rankings, the only bad one is Iowa State at 99. Everybody else in the top...
Top 58 well, right now. Oklahoma State's right. 58. Everyone else is in the top 44. K-State's 44, Baylor 43, Texas 37, TCU 27. And everyone else is in the top 13.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's
crazy.
You
got four teams in the top 13. So
okay, Kevin. Let's go ahead and just jump into next week. Obviously, we've previewed it a little bit, but we have West Virginia coming up on Big Monday in Morgantown, and then we have Baylor at home on Saturday. So West Virginia, Morgantown. I know they flew out this morning in with the weather. You got to fly to Pittsburgh, and I think you have to drive in, or at least that's how you used to have to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. So that's rough. Going to Morgantown is rough. Like, when we can't even have these games on a Saturday. If we have these games on a Saturday, it completely changes everything because you have time to get in. You can kind of use the whole week to prepare for this press. But we play on Saturday. At least it was 11. We get an extra couple hours. Get this game on Saturday. Then you got to fly to Morgantown. Maybe do a shoot around on Monday and then play.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I think Bill said in the post game about this game that he can't remember a time when we haven't played West Virginia on a big Monday.
I can't either. And that's what it always
and
is.
His complaint on that was, you know, so and I think he said something like, we get 30 minutes to practice against their you know, what they do. Because they always play a game on Saturday, every Saturday. And so, you know, you get probably one practice between Saturday and Monday, at least one legit practice. And so... and then obviously the travel, as you mentioned. So it sucks that we have the Saturday, Monday always landing in Morgantown, but it is what it is.
Yeah, so let's talk about the game itself. We said this last year on the podcast, this exact statement, that this team is well-suited or better suited than other KU Big Self, or Bill Self teams to play against this team. And I think that that's true again this year. You know, we would play four guards and Azubuike, which is, you know, helpful for the press. However, nothing's ever good against this West Virginia team. You can prepare all you want, but it's a game where I think Devontae has to play well. Yeah, Devontae has to play better than he has been, or he has to be the alpha player, the playmaker for the team. He has to stay out of foul trouble. Because do you really want Malik Newman organizing the guys against the press? Nothing against Malik Newman, but he's just not incredibly prepared for that. That's not his thing. Or do you want Sfi doing that? Or who else could do it? I mean, Devontae has to play 38 minutes and has to be. You have to do that. But otherwise, like, Malik's a good guy in the backcourt with you. I think Marcus Garrett could be a good guy in the backcourt with you. Sfi knows how to play this team. If anything, he's got 4 years of experience playing against this press, so he knows what's going on. And then Azubuike, I mean, I'm not worried necessarily about the big guys against the press. They do what they have to do.
Yeah, but they're going to hound him, though. I mean, they're going to...
Well, sure.
They're going to try to, obviously, prevent him from getting the ball in the first place, which they're pretty good at. And then... the second he gets it, he's going to be under attack. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. I agree totally that Devontae has to have a good game for this to go well. He had 5 turnovers against Kansas State. Like, that can't happen against. I mean, he might still have 5 turnovers against these guys, and that, I don't know, maybe that's okay. But 5 turnovers against K-State means 9 turnovers against West Virginia. And Trey Young, you know, seeing him come into Morgantown and play his worst game as a collegian is what was obviously expected. Like, I think everybody said that was going to be a game for him to struggle. But the point is, every point guard struggles there. And that's just because they just the way they play. So Devontae's got to have a great game. I hope that as a senior and has never won in Morgantown, that he comes and brings his A game and he brings everybody along too. Andrew, West Virginia has not lost until this Texas game, their Texas Tech game, in the United States. And then you could honestly say that, is Lubbock in the United States? Like, it's kind of a foreign. So they've won every game in the United States. Let's just say that.
They only lose to Texas teams, and hopefully they'll lose all the Texas games this year. And
that'd be okay.
And be 10-8. They'd fine with me.
Yeah, so they lost that A&M game. Remember, they got destroyed in that game.
Yeah. I mean, everyone was so hyped on West Virginia, and then the opening night of the season, we see this Texas A&M game, and they just ran them out of the gym. But obviously, they've recovered. I think they're number two in the nation right now.
You know what sucks? That Texas A&M team?
They're not very good
anymore.
They
lost five games in a row.
Yeah.
We play them in like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
They've lost five. Now, they're decent teams. They lost to Alabama, Florida, LSU, Kentucky, and Tennessee. All of them are, you know, freaking SEC is really good all of a sudden at basketball.
Somehow.
Have you noticed that? Like, where'd they come
from?
Anyway, that's beside the point. Let's get back to the West Virginia game. Andrew, can you tell me who the leading scorer is on West Virginia's team?
I'd probably say Javon Carter, but I'm going to be wrong.
Ooh, it is. You're wrong. On a points per game basis, that would be newcomer for the 2017-18 season, Issa Ahmad, who set the entire first half of the season.
No, he played one game.
I said points per game.
oh, come on. AC Ahmad just played the one game on Saturday. Before that, it was Javon Carter.
It was absolutely
he had one
Carter.
Game.
I'm messing with you. Relax.
Okay.
Ahmad came back. The point is, Ahmad came back for that Texas Tech game. And
why was he suspended?
I think it was something about like grades. I think it was like, I'm pretty sure. I don't know for sure. But I think I read somewhere it had something to do with eligibility around academics, not like eligibility around. I'm sure Twitter will correct me if that's wrong. But anyway, he's back now is the point. And he played really well against Texas Tech in a loss. 18 points. I think Carter had like 28 or something. And so they now have their 1-2 punch back, and I think Ahmad was maybe the second leading scorer on that team last year too. So obviously he can fill it up. Will be a very interesting game, Andrew. I saw you and I were talking about this yesterday, and I predicted to you that KU would be a 4 or 4.5 point dog. You remember, is that correct?
I think you were around like 3-4. Yeah, you're around there.
I never said 3.
Do we have a line?
It is out, and it's 4.5.
Okay, that's probably
you're right.
And you know what? And when we were talking about that, that's probably a little low.
That's a KU factor. That's a front of the jersey factor. I think it's probably a 6-point line.
It probably should be a 6.
Ken Palm's got it at 3. Which I was a little surprised about, but, you know, whatever. So, KU will be going into Morgantown. Andrew, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
We're going to win this game, Kevin.
Ooh, man, I hope.
We're going to win this game.
I hope you're right.
Devontae's going to have a big game. Malik Newman's going to have a big game.
So, obviously, West Virginia's got a great defense. They are still the same old press and steal and block a lot of shots and pester and foul like crazy and turn you over. Number 2 in turnover percentage, number 3 in steal percentage, number 10 in block percentage. They are 31st, Andrew, in free throws attempted ratio against field goals attempted, which means, of course, that you're going to shoot a lot of free throws against this team. That goes against one of our struggles is getting to the line. So, Andrew, how many free throws are we going to shoot in this game? Are we going to try to drive against him? Is Devontae going to get his 15 free throws again?
That's the model. I mean, you have to get that. And I think that's an important thing to look for. And those fouls don't necessarily always come on drives. It's on the press. It's in the scrum. When the press causes a mess, there's often fouls that come out of that. And so it's not necessarily your traditional, you know, driving team that gets fouled at the bucket. It's kind of this whole conglomerate of just everything being a mess. So I would look for us to drive, but I also would look for us to, you know, a lot of loose ball stuff, a lot of when things go crazy, KU trying to take advantage of that. So look for that as well. If we're getting to the line, that means that things are going well. If we're not getting to the line, then, you know, that's going to be rough.
Yeah, we need to absolutely follow the script of the, what was that, the Iowa State game and the one before it where Devontae was really getting to the free throw line. I mean, if he can shoot 10 plus free throws, I think we win this game. And that, because that means he's driving, he's getting to the hole, he's getting past his man, we're getting lanes. Like, I think we need that to happen. And obviously, Andrew, we need to make some three-pointers.
Yep.
We need to make a lot of three-pointers. Yep. Because that's what we do.
A lot of dunks, a lot of, let's say, breaking the press, and the big guy comes off his guy and leaves Doak alone, and Doak gets a dunk. We need to see like 10 of those.
That would be nice.
The other game, right, you want to talk about the other game, Baylor at home next week. Yeah. That's so far away, but it's another game, you know. We've got to be ready for that zone. We've struggled against it. The Syracuse game, we won that game. We struggled against it for the Washington game. We lost that game. So we've struggled. We've struggled against that zone. We'll see that against Scott Drew. It's not like we haven't seen that before. We've seen it for 14 years. But something to keep an eye on. This Baylor team's not as bad as the 1-4 record that they currently have. They'll get some wins, and they've got some good players. But otherwise, I don't have much to say about that. I'm just jacked about this West Virginia game.
Yeah, I am too. I'm sort of expecting a loss in Morgantown. I think almost every KU fan is. And if we win, it's crazy house money. And as I mentioned before, if we win, I don't want to hear one more word. You have at least a 14-day window where if someone tweets me something about how this KU team doesn't have it, blah, 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 I'm literally going to block and report you for spam, because that means we went into Morgantown and got that win. So, and then after 2 weeks, if we lose three in a row or something, you can come right back and start saying it. But I am excited for this game, Andrew. I will actually be in Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right. So are you going to do our old trick? If we're down at halftime, you got to switch bars? Or switch casinos?
Absolutely. Don't you worry about that.
That worked once.
In this K-State game, I watched it on 4 different TVs.
Oh, okay.
I was bouncing around my house. And finally, I found one that worked in the office. The office TV was successful. So now I
keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. TV. Don't forget that.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Listen, I'm not superstitious about anything.
Just a little stitches. Really just a little stitches.
Just a baby stitches. I'm really not, except for KU basketball.
Yeah,
I will do anything.
I agree.
I have 100 different superstitions, and maybe a little bit of craps. Like just a little craps.
Yeah,
table.
Craps isn't things. Fun without superstitions. Like it's not right, fun. That's what I'm like saying. If it's just all math, then it's just like this is boring.
There you go. Let's see. Did we forget anything?
Nope.
Do we have? Are we
all
have
good?
We
just
everything?
Got West Virginia tomorrow. That's the important thing. Big game in Morgantown. We got to get this win. We're owed one.
Ooh, I like that. This people were saying the win at TCU didn't cross off the loss at home to Texas Tech. I'm pretty sure this win at West Virginia would successfully cross off that win, that loss at home. Would you feel?
I feel good. I feel good. I'd feel great.
I'd feel really good. I would feel, oh man. And I'll be in Vegas good. Like if we win and I'm in Vegas, woo, it's going to be fun. I hope we get that win, Andrew. And we'll see one way or the other. Hopefully we get that Baylor win for sure. And continue the positive vibes. I would take a 1-point win the rest of the way. I don't care if we win by 1 point. My heart will, but I don't care if we win by 1 point. Let's win every game by 1 point.
That's fine with me. Win's a win. I could care less.
Well, we'll see what happens, Andrew. Thanks everybody for listening. You can catch us online on the Twitter bug at Jayhawk Talk and at Sherlock Hoops. Hit us up with all your crazy ass conspiracy theories. Keep those coming. Those are great. Mostly for the podcast. And until next time, rock chalk. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing, with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering, with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my